Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glad to be here tonight. Thankful to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this service tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for how that you've kept us, dear God, through this week. And we ask now, dear God, that you would come, Lord, and anoint us, Father, with your spirit, Lord, to speak your word, to bring understanding and encouragement to the people, we pray tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For this letter, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, that we, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God had distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching and gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory to the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Amen. You may be seated. What I want to draw your attention to this, first of all, you know, of course, we know Paul, Paul was continuously sending letters to the Corinthian church and of instruction and correction and things. And there was many things that correction that Paul had to bring. And, evidently from what Paul was writing here, there were some that thought that perhaps Paul wrote so boldly in his letters that he was being so bold because he wasn't there present, that it was just in his letters. But that when he would come in and be there presently, he wouldn't be quite so bold. But Paul was telling him, to the contrary, I'm going to be just as bold. But what I want to draw your attention to is verse 3, 4, and 5. For Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And, you know, Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places and spiritual wickedness and that. So Paul's saying we're not warring after the fight we're fighting. We're not fighting against other men and women is what he's actually speaking of. We're not fighting against other people, you know. So often people, even among churches and that, they seem like they take up opposition with each other. You know, sometimes one church against another, all this, but people against people. And Paul says, that's not what our fight is. You know, you realize that it's not the flesh, but it's the spirit that's there. And it's why I feel that the Lord has so directed us so many times to discern the spirit and that is in people that you're around. And how do you discern it? Not by your feelings, you know, not by, you know, some people say, I could just tell that person thinks they're really high or something. No. That's your feelings. That's your emotion. Sometimes that's just your imagination, actually. But actually, how do you discern it? Is by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit that's in you, you know. And I went to a meeting one time several years ago, and none of you actually went with me. It was just me and my wife. And we went somewhere, and I'll tell you something, friends. When we got in that evening for the service and that, you know, there was a man, you know, that got up to speak and that, and to start that service out and to speak and that. And I'll tell you, there was such an eerie spirit that came in the place. And, you know, if you were a spiritual person that was sitting there that had the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you, you would have picked up on this spirit, you know. And because of what it was trying to project. And I don't really want to get into that, but I'm just saying you can discern, the Spirit of God in you can discern the spirit. But you can also discern it by the Word of God, you know, so like so much that we've pointed to. And I think back to it was different times throughout last year, and it seems like it's carried right over and into this year. You know, we're constantly, the Holy Spirit's reminding us, by their fruits you'll know them, you know. And so it's, which is the life, you know. What are they producing? Not what people are saying, but what they're producing. But in that, you know, the Holy Spirit's not directing us against these people. It's against the spirit of the enemy that is perhaps using those individuals. So, you know, that's why Paul says, we're not fighting against other people. We're not fighting against flesh. We're not warring against flesh. But it's a spiritual battle. Now, noting this, that the devil, one of the things in this spiritual battle, Brother Branham said, in the greatest battle ever fought, he said, look, Satan chose the mind of the human beings. He chose your mind to,
And by that, it's, you know, many times people think, well, we're talking about your brain. We're not actually talking about your brain so much. We're talking about your thoughts, you know. And, you know, and the thing is, your thoughts, it isn't always in what people think, well, all my thoughts are in my head. They're in my brain. It's actually your spirit realm. It's where the thoughts come from, and your thoughts are affected, you know, can be affected by your affection, which is a gate in the spirit. So your affections can affect how you think. Imagination is one of those gates. Your imagination can affect what thoughts you're having. You know, people sometimes, you know, they think somebody's got something against them. And if you'd ever get them together, you find out there's nothing there. What is it? It's their imagination. And what it is Satan, he injects a thought. It's a warfare in the mind. He injects a thought. And then, you know, we start to, in our imagination, interpret certain actions and manners, you know, and things from an individual, perhaps, that we start interpreting those in our imagination and imagining, you know, and this person just has no clue what in the world's going on in your head. Amen. You know, so it's sort of cast down imaginations. You know, but we've got weapons in this warfare. And since we're not fighting a carnal warfare, then our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are spiritual. And it says they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and bringing into captivity every thought. Now, what weapons do we have? What weapons of warfare do we have? Brother Branham said in The Great and Mighty Conqueror, he said, Jesus proved the weapons of his warfare when he healed the sick. When he took 5 little biscuits and 2 pieces of fish and fed 5,000 people, he proved he had the power over every atom that there was. Not only did he grow fish, he growed cooked fish. Not only did he grow wheat in those biscuits, he growed cooked wheat in those biscuits. So when he, you know, and when they got done, you know, they started out with the 5 biscuits and the 2 fish, and when they got done, they took up baskets full. Now, friends, what they started out with probably couldn't have hardly filled up but 1 basket. So how did they get all these baskets? And it wasn't baskets of wheat flour to make biscuits. It was baked bread. It just kept multiplying. It wasn't like he took the loaves and he'd break off a piece and then he'd break off a piece and just keep breaking off pieces. He multiplied it. They ended up with whole loaves of bread left over. Brother Bram said that was Jesus proving the weapons of his warfare. He said in the conflict between God and Satan, he said God knew that this great warfare was coming between right and wrong. He knew what the enemy was going to do. He knew just exactly how to equip his people. He knew what it took to defeat Satan anytime, any place, anywhere, on any conditions. He said, now, he didn't say, I'll give them something here, then a few years later, I may study out something better to give them, then after a few years later. He said, no. He said, like they do, like man has done in their military. They kept
And Brother Bam goes through a bow and arrow to a sledge or a rock hammer, and then to a bow and arrow, and then a musket, and then from a musket to a Springfield, and then, you know, to an automatic rifle, and then finally the atomic weapon. He said, no, God at the beginning gave his children the atomic weapon. Because he's an infinite God. And he knew that it was going to be this conflict. There was going to be a battle. God equipped his children with the right kind of ammunition for the attack. The right kind of everything they would have need of that would sweep them all the way from Eden to the rapture. What was it? The Word. The Word. That's what defeats Satan, is the Word. It'll defeat him anywhere, any place. Now, he said, men want to substitute something else when we've already got the best thing there is, the Word. When we find Jesus on earth, he proved this was the best equipment. When Satan come to him, a hand-to-hand combat with Jesus, Jesus never reached over into his power and tied Satan's hands. He just took that same weapon that God gave his children in Eden, his Word, and said, it's written. Now, you know, people say, well, okay, I'll take the Word, I'll just quote it, but you got to believe it. That's where faith comes in. To accept it, that God's going to bring it to pass because he said it. You know, and if you believe it, then, you know, because there's people that can quote the Bible. But the thing is, you know, you friends, look, I have saw people that in my life, you know, that I've lived here growing up in this message and that, I've saw people, like I've told you many times, come and go. And I've saw people come in and come on and go on strong, and they could quote this and quote that. I've saw preachers that could quote, you know, just quote scriptures, a verse, line, and chapter, and all this stuff a lot better than I ever can. But where are they today? The problem was they didn't actually believe what they were quoting. They didn't really believe what they were reading. If they would have, they'd still be here. They would have served God until they left this life. He equipped his children with the Word for their protection against the enemy when the all-out warfare comes and the battle sets in array. There's only one thing a real Christian soldier needs, is the Word. So you just got to believe it. Now, listen to this. This is in Believest Thou This. Brother Adam says, now, the Word of God, the written Word of God, will defeat Satan. Everybody wouldn't have gifts. Jesus brought it down to a place where those who do not have gifts, that do not have very much faith, can say, it's written. There it is, then stand right there and believe it. Now, you know, we look at many times, you know, when I first came here to pastor this church years ago, there was a time that we had quite a few individuals in the church that were suffering physical sicknesses in that. And I remember, you know, praying about it at home and things, and I remember, you know, just kind of studying on it and thinking about it in my mind. And I remember I had a thought. I thought, well, you know, we really need faith preached. And I just, to be honest with you, I just didn't feel like I was that strong to actually be able to raise people's faith, to be able to accept their healing. And I thought, we really need somebody that could come through here and really preach and actually really lift everybody's faith up. But you know what changed in me? I grew in the Word. I grew in the Word. I grew in the Spirit of God, went through experiences. And you know, you think many times that, well, your faith, look, you can't go down to the store and buy faith.
You can't come up here to the altar and say, Brother Jerry, pray and give me some faith. Do you know how your faith comes? You know, yes, we know the scriptures are by hearing and hearing of the word, and then, but it comes through your experiences. You get sick, you have an illness, and God heals you, and that increases your faith because you say, well, I know that God can heal me. You come up, maybe you come up for prayer even because you know that it said they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And you come up for prayer and God touches you and heals you. And you know what that does? That just increases your faith. Friends, look, as we've so often said, that was one of the biggest problems that God had with Israel when they came out of Egypt, that every time God did something for them, every time they came up against something, and then God came down on the scene and delivered them that, instead of them growing in faith from that, instead they whined and complained the next time something came along. Instead of having the confidence, God, you know, look, we didn't have any water. The water was bitter. And so God turned the water sweet. That was at the start of their journey. You know, we didn't have anything to eat. So God gave us manna out of heaven. God had quail to come in and rain down on us to give us meat. I mean, it was constantly one thing after another. They didn't have water. So God didn't say, well, you know what? We're going to have y'all start digging down in the ground. And when you get down deep enough, you'll strike water. No, he said, go out there and smite that rock. And out of a rock came water. I mean, that was the problem, was every time God did something, instead of them growing in faith, instead they just complained the next time. But we friends, look, we grow in faith as we experience things and go through things, and God comes down and delivers us. It's like I heard years ago, you know, brother, I believe it's Brother Tim Pruitt said something about, you know, sickness is just an opportunity for healing. You know, it's just an opportunity for God to do something for you. If you've got a need, it's an opportunity for God to come down and meet your need. Look, friends, God allows things to come in our lives just to prove his word to us. So, but here Brother Branham's talking about, he says, you know, people think, well, I don't have any great gifts or anything and all that. You know, you don't need them. All you need is just to believe God's word and take him at his word. He goes on here, listen to what he says. This is in Believest Thou This, preaching 51. He said, remember, the word of God will defeat Satan anywhere. Jesus said, with all his fine qualities that the Father had given him, he said, it's written, when he met Satan. He defeated him right there on the word of God. He brought it down to a place that anybody, the weakest of Christian, can defeat Satan on the word of God. You know, look, when Satan came and he tempted Jesus, when Jesus was there, you know, in the wilderness, when Satan came and tempted him and tested him and tried him, and it was actually an all-out war that was going on right there between Jesus and Satan, you know. What Brother Bam is pointing out is Jesus didn't call on any of his divine powers. Look, this is the same one that we said took and multiplied bread, multiplied fish. And so what did Satan say? You're hungry. Turn these stones into bread. He could have did it. He had already proved he had control over all the atoms. He had all power of God. Friends, look, when he was on the cross, he could have called for angels to come down and set him free. He never called on any divine power that he had. Instead, he used, Brother Ram said, what it should show you that the weakest person can do this. Anybody, the weakest of Christian, can defeat Satan with the word. Joel says, let the weak say, I am strong. Says that in the book of Joel 3, verse 10. Brother Ram said, let him that's weak say, I'm strong. Just you say it in your heart right now. You say, I am now strong. I have now accepted Jesus as my healer. I'll never have any negative testimony anymore. I'll just believe it. God is under obligation. Jesus sitting right at the right hand of the Father to accept you, for he's sitting there, the high priest of your confession to make good before the Father anything he died for that you're confessing that he'd done. There you are. Divine healing cannot be any plainer than that. It's to the weakest. Now, I've heard people, you know, trying to wait and seek God for healing in their life. And I've heard them sometimes say, boy, if I could just get enough faith, I'd get healed. If I could just get enough faith, I wouldn't have sugar diabetes. Look, friends. You know, of course, this brings in a whole other avenue of things. There is such a thing as God's will. Things that God allows for certain reasons and purposes and things. And the thing about it is, you know, friends, look, God can heal us. But I'll tell you this. If time tarries on long enough and we live and get older and that, there's going to come a time we're going to run out of years. We're going to run out of breath if time takes on. As time continues on, people die because we're in these bodies that are in an unredeemed state. But the only thing that dies is this flesh. You can't die. Hallelujah. Now, I'm with you. You know, I'm not ready to leave here yet. I'm ready to leave to go in the rapture. I'm not ready to give up on living a little bit yet. You understand what I'm saying? I've seen folks, you know, that they... when it seems like when it finally comes their time to go, you know, that you can see a change happen in the individual. No longer are they fighting for life. It's like that they've resigned themselves. Something in them is resigned that it's my time. And they're just ready to go. I remember a brother. I hadn't been here very long. It might have been within the first. Year that I was here. Maybe 1999. I don't remember. So many years has passed. And sometimes it's hard to place when certain things have happened in that. But I think I maybe had been here maybe a year or so, and I went back up to Ohio, and there was a brother that had been a deacon in a church up there, and he was dying of cancer, and he had actually some years previous to that the cancer had gotten his leg, and they had to amputate his leg and that, and then, but anyway, he was dying, and
And they had him in a place of hospice, like we went to that facility, and you know, his family were in the room, and there was a lot of we went there, I think it was after church or something, and that evening, and so there was quite a few of us from the church that were in the room. It was quite large, and you know, the thing about it was, he just began to talk in that, and everybody went there to try to uplift him, be an encouragement to him. He was encouraging everybody else. He wasn't discouraged. He was ready to go. You know. But divine healing, Brother Bram says, it can't be any plainer. It's for the weakest. Remember, God's word will defeat Satan. We quoted from Ephesians earlier, where Paul said we'd wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that scripture, that's in Ephesians 6. In that scripture, Paul's actually instructing the Christians to put on the whole armor of God and to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he says, you know, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And when you've done all to stand, then Paul said, what do? Then stand. In other words, then believe, you know. And of course, Paul, goes through, and he says, you know, gird your loins with the truth, having a blessed breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, how do we use the word of God in our lives to combat Satan? Well, you friends, look, if you believe God's word, then you believe what's in there. You believe what it says. But the thing is, you got to believe that that is talking about you. You got to believe it's to you. See, there's where Satan comes and tries to many times battle people. You know, the message, the real believer. Satan doesn't come and try to convince you necessarily there's not elect people. What he tries to convince you is you're not one of them. There's elect, but you're not one of them. God's got children, but you're not one of them. He doesn't try to convince you that there's not going to be a rapture. He tries to come and implant doubt in you that you're going to make it, that you're going to make the rapture. He'll try to plant doubt that, you know, when the rapture comes, you know what's going to be bad is you're going to be left behind. You ain't going to make it. Well, that's when you got to go to the Word of God to. And then go to not just what you read on, but what the effect the words had on you. Because the words had an effect on you. You know, we often quote, you know, because we go through so many things. And Satan, you know, he battles us that way to try to bring discouragement to us, you know. And many times we face such heartaches and things like that, and next thing you know, Satan will run the thought through your mind, does God really love you? If God loved you, why is he letting all this stuff happen to you? And this one, you got to go to the word and say, yeah, but it says, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. All things. That doesn't just mean good things. It means the bad things also work for your good. Friends, look, let me tell you something. We're human. So there's times that you can look back in your life that you made certain decisions, and you can look back on them and say, you know, looking back, I can say that wasn't the right decision. But that maybe that was a wrong decision, or it seemed to be a wrong decision. And because you made that decision, it caused you to go down a certain path and caused you to do certain things. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a child of God, that didn't end up taking you further from God. What it ended up doing was end up in the end, turned you around and made you closer than you had ever been. You know, look, God uses things in your life that you do and you go through. He uses those things to actually mold you, mold a character in you. You know, I look in my own life, my own testimony. You know, and I could say, well, you know, I made a decision to join the army, go in the army. That was a wrong decision. But looking back on it, friends, I can tell you this. You know, who I am as a person today is partially because I served 5 years. Things I faced, things I went through, and things that happened that actually ended up turning me back closer to God. But also, there was a lot of training that went in. And I'm not talking about, you know, just a carnal training. God was using all this to train me to be perseverant. Using it to train me. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you something a little bit about myself. Before I went into the Army, I was a young man. You know, and I'll tell you, there, sometimes I'd be on a job and I just get bored with it. I get tired of it. You know, maybe the something would go on with the boss or whatever and all that. And I was like, I'm out of here. See you later. I don't got to take this. And I went from factories and this and that and the other, working here and there and that and everything, you know, from pillar to post and everything, you know, and all that. And when if the going got really tough, buddy, I just left. And when I got in the Army, I couldn't do that. And I'm going to tell you what. I had tougher times in the Army than I ever had in out here in this civilian world. But I couldn't quit. I couldn't walk away. You know, my biggest thing actually growing up was I hated confrontation. I'm still not really a person. Some of you might think I am, but I'm really not. I really don't like confrontation. But the things I ended up going through taught me that, hey, look, if you got to have it, you got to have it. You might as well just get with it and do it. If I got to have, you know, a confrontation with the devil, I'm not going to try to bypass it anymore. I'm just going to meet it head on. Come on, let's go. God used these different things in my life to actually change me. Friends, look, if I hadn't to change, there is no way in the world I'd still be here after 25 years. Because this spiritual battle I've been through is way tougher than Desert Storm. It's not easy when you got to be in a place and you know you got people, and I'm glad I got people here that love me, but I know there's been people that's been in and out of here and people still live around here that can't stand me. And I don't understand why. I ain't done nothing to them. But then I realized, as God told Samuel, don't take it personal, Samuel. It's not you. It's not you, Samuel, that they're rejecting. It's me. So it's not me. It's God that they actually got a problem with. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Look, friends, Paul goes on to say in here, this is in Romans 8. He said, he's predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Where Jesus Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what does that mean, him being the firstborn among many brethren? It means that these works that I do, shall you do also. Greater than these shall you do, for I go to the Father. That's what that means. He's the firstborn among many brethren. It means you can do what he did. Hallelujah. Conform to his image. Them he predestinated, you know, that predestinate, he called you. He called you. You didn't call yourself. You didn't bring yourself to this. You wasn't sitting around sometime and just made up your mind, you know, well, this is what I think I'll do with my life. God brought you to this. Look how mentally absurd this actually is, friends, that you look in our midst and see we've got people, you know, from all over the place. My family, originally from Ohio, Brother Phil, originally from Indiana, Brother Gene here, what, from Illinois or somewhere. Some of y'all from Tennessee and Alabama and all over the place, Florida and everywhere. And how in the world did we all end up here? God was directing your path. And we come from all different kinds of walks of life. You know, perhaps we got people, you know, like myself, you know, my whole life, all I've ever known was church. From a young child, my mom and dad were in church. I was born and raised in church. But we've got folks that their whole life, until God brought them here, they didn't know a thing about church. How do you get all that together? It's God. He's magnificent. Look, friends, we didn't come together here because we all like to bass fish. We don't come together here because everybody wants to be a deer hunter. You understand what I'm getting at? We come from different things and walks and likes. We don't all like the same cars, because that don't matter. But God's got us all together. Look, friends, we don't all even have the same accents. Sister Joyce don't even have the same accent as her husband. You understand? I know that sounded funny, but I'm just trying to point you at these obvious things. How did God bring together this woman from Alabama and this boy from Dixon, Tennessee? But God meant for them to be together. It's amazing what God, you really get to thinking about how God
has got your life and how he's had so, you know, that song we were singing when I came up here, he's got it all in control. He's had his life, his hand on your life. Friends, look, before you were formed in your mother's belly, his hand was on your life. Hallelujah. Look, what are you doing tonight? I'm telling you, it's written. I'm giving you the word of God to defeat the devil, you know, and cast down his imaginations that he tries to get all conjured up in your head and spirit. Paul goes on to say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Nobody can lay anything to our charge. Yeah, sure, we get plenty of accusations. All kinds of people talk about you and everything else. Here's the whole thing. You know that old saying you learned when you were a kid? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, we know that words actually do hurt us in our emotions and different things like that or whatever. But here's the thing. People's words don't change you. Look, we've had things that happened in this church. And people, you know, like, just excuse me for a moment. Look at Brother Tim's death. And there's been all kinds of wild, weird, and stupid things that people have said. The thing about it is, just because they say it don't mean any of it's true. Look, I know there was people sitting at that funeral, friends, that thought that Tim was lost. I don't care what they thought. I don't care who they were. I don't care if they were a Catholic or a professed message believer. Nothing they thought or said changes the fact. And that's what I'm getting at. Things that people say about you, that has nothing to do with who you are. It's what God says about you. That's who you are. It's what His Word says about you. It's what His Spirit has done in you. How the Holy Spirit has changed your life. Look how you have changed through the years. Look how you have grown and matured in the Lord. Dial back about 25 years and think of how you were in the faith then. And look how you are now. That's because of God. That's because of God's Word. His Spirit made that change in you. His Word made that change in you. If the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. There's already a quickening that's happened on the inside of you that changed you, and that's why you're here. And that is proof that you're going to get a body change because the change has already happened in your law, in your heart and your soul. That's your proof. Who is he that condemneth, Paul says? Christ died, yea, rather is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. So who can condemn us? Who shall separate us from the love of God, Paul says? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, debt, or any other creature shall not be able to separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
I said, friend, look, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more.
Right.
He loved you completely from the start. And there's nothing you can do that will ever make him love you less. You remember Brother Branham talking about that picture in Germany? He said when you stood and looked at it, he said it looked like a big angry clouds and an angry storm rolling in. And he said, then the guide told him, said, now, let's step a little closer. He said, the group stepped up closer to this painting. When they stepped up closer, they realized it wasn't an angry storm and angry clouds. It was actually angel's wings. Brother Adam said, it was a blessing in disguisement. He said, maybe what you're going through, maybe your sickness or whatever it is just a blessing in disguisement. It's an opportunity for God to do something for you. Amen. Isaiah said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Look, friends, look. You're never going to be defeated because you got to realize in you is Jesus Christ, and he's already conquered everything. So there ain't nothing nobody can say, no weapon, no person, no church, no nothing that will ever prosper against you. Look, friend, somebody comes and they tell a lie, you know, and you just get so down in that, especially if it ends up being something that ends up turning into something, you know, in the courts or something like that. And then you're under all this. My dad, you know, I remember I went through something some years ago with some folks, and I was accused of some things in that, and my dad told me, he said, look, truth will always come out. He said, it takes a while sometimes, but truth will always manifest itself. I've seen it happen. Brother felt led to leave a church and go to another church to work in that church and things, you know, but all of a sudden there was a uproar between him and his wife over it. And a big old mess. The brother ended up beat down and seeming defeated and everything else and back where he started from. Seemed like sitting there with his tail between his legs. But then, after some time, it visited around to a place where all of a sudden the wife realized, no, we really do need to leave. And then they left. The problem is, if she just followed ahead to begin with, it would have, she wouldn't have had to go through some of them heartaches that she ended up going through. But the truth finally came out. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Every tongue that rises against you to say something
condemning about you, in judgment of you. You're going to condemn it in the end. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness of me, saith the Lord. Listen to what Paul says here in Philippians 1 and 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And he began a good work in you, that means he's going to bring it to an end. He's going to accomplish it. He's going to bring it to perfection. He's going to finish it. He's going to bring it to completion. He started it. You're going to be completed. Let me read, what time is it? Okay, just let me read this to you and we'll close. This is in the message of Easter Seal. Brother Bam said, look at the millions on earth that didn't receive it when Jesus was here. When I read this tonight, it made me think about that song, you know, he didn't have to open my eyes. Hallelujah. He said, look at the millions on earth that didn't receive it when Jesus was here. But how thankful that we should be this morning to know we have the direct evidence and the Bible proof that we are included in that great resurrection morning. What's the proof that we have that we're included, we're going to be included on that great resurrection morning? The Spirit of God, the earnest of the Spirit of God that's in you. We have the earnest of it right now in our mortal bodies. And when the Holy Spirit comes to claim its own. Now listen to what he says here. Remember you in this stature that you're in this morning. If you wasn't in his thinking back then you're not now. But there is some part that's in you that's eternal. And in God was his thinking of you setting right here where you are now. In his thinking, I stood at the pulpit this morning because he's infinite and knows all things. Therefore, he could tell the end from the beginning because he's eternal. And you being a son, daughter of God, then you were in his thinking at the beginning. And when the Holy Spirit come, here you are on earth walking around as a sinner. But way down in your life, there is something. You don't know what's taking place, but you're hungry. My fellow brother, there's something in you, something you never put in there. It's something that you couldn't desire to be in there. It's something that is even contrary to your own nature. It was the foreknowledge of God taking place. It was, you were in God's thoughts. Even when you were out there before you got to where you are now in the Lord, you were in his thoughts. And there was something in you then. When you, some of you that were maybe out in sin, whatever you've done, whatever you committed, however you were living, whoever you were with or whatever was going on, there was something in you then.
Thank you, Lord.
And it only let you go so far. And then something stopped you. And something turned you. And something brought you. And something, you that are married, something brought the two of you together. Look at all the different people you might have ended up with. But God knew who he wanted you with. And God brought you here. Look.
Why in the world did God ever have to bring Brother Field all the way down here from Indiana? Why do you have to bring me down here from Ohio? Why do you have to bring Brother Gene in here, y'all in here, you from Alabama, from Florida, or wherever? Why did God do all that? But look, friends, think about this. Here we are sitting here, you know, we're all different ages and everything else, and we come from different lives and different backgrounds and everything else, but from the time you were little, God was working something out in your life to bring you right here to where you are today. For what? So that he could perfect you and have you ready for the rest. He had already claimed you, but now he's coming back to get you. And he wants you to be ready. And so he arranged all these things in your life that you've went through, the places you've lived, places you've traveled, and everything else, to arrange for you to be right where you are now. Huh. My. And when you dial back those years back to where you were, get back in your mind and think where you were then, you had no idea back then this is where you were going to be now. God did things in our lives, friends, that was actually against our human will. When I met my wife, I told her, I ain't no preacher. I don't want to be no preacher. I started going to a church and where she was at, and the pastor came to me and asked me about it. And I said, oh, no, not me, buddy. I ain't no preacher. I just sing. That's it. Play the guitar and sing. That's all I do. I remember when I had to come tell my wife God's called me to preach. She said, but you said he didn't. I said, I know. But I said, I'll tell you one thing. I'll never be a pastor. God had other plans. God had other plans. And you can try to run. Some of you tried to run, but you can't get away. Because he's predestinated you. And there was something in you that no matter what you've done, you couldn't get rid of it. Friends, look, you couldn't get rid of it. Satan couldn't take it out of you. It's like that song, the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. It was something, it was in you. You came here that way. And that something that was in you, it had nothing to do with your earthly father and mother. It had everything to do with your heavenly father. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your word to have been here, God. And we ask, God, that you would, Father, bless your people now as you bless them with your word, and bless them with your spirit, dear God. And go with them, Lord, as they depart from here tonight, Lord. And I pray, be with them, Lord, Father, over the next couple of days, maybe another day of work or two and that. And Lord, bring us back here at a point in time on Sunday. Lord, I want to thank you personally for touching me physically, Lord. And we give you praise, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.